And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let me tell you, God watches us to try our hearts and our reins. Jeremiah also said in the 11th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 20, he said, "But, O Lord of hosts, thou judgest righteously. Thou triest the reins and the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause." Praise God. Then in the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Righteous art thou, O God, when I plead with ye. Thee, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them." God planted them. He said, "Yea, they've taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, but far from their reins." See, God gets on the throne of our heart in the driver's seat, and he takes the reins and see if he can turn us without having to jerk on the bridle and the bit. God don't want a bit in our mouth like a horse. Lord puts reins on us. He don't put a bit in your mouth unless you get contrary. And then first thing you know, he catches you asleep and he puts that old bit in there, and then he's got to yank and your jaw's always bleeding. Say, "What in the world that do? What you do that for, Lord? That hurts." He said, "Well, you contrary thing, I'm trying to get you back in the balances and weigh you, not find you wanting. I'm trying you to see whether you'll listen to me or not." So he goes on down here. Listen to this, verse 5 in Jeremiah 12. "If thou hast run with a footman and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" God said, if you're wearied with the men that's telling you the truth in a land of peace, what are you going to do when I swell Jordan into a storm that rises up against you? You're wearied with everything I do for you. So here's what he says. "Your brethren, they've dealt treacherously with thee." And then verse 7, he said, "I've forsaken mine house. I've left mine heritage. I don't go to that temple anymore. I've given the dearly beloved of my soul in the hand of our enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion of the forest. It crieth out against me." Listen to this. "Therefore have I hated it." God hated that church of old and their old temple just like he hates the church of today, and it's characterized and epitomized in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 21, the Laodicean church that Jesus said, "I have spewed it out of my mouth. It makes me sick to my stomach." God's still the same. Malachi 3 and 6, "I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Listen to verse 10, why he does it. "Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They've trod my portion underfoot. They made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They've made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart." God had the same old problems back in the days of old that God's having with the church of today. In Jeremiah the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 6, he said, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the times of their coming, but my people don't know the judgments of the Lord." Many Americans today go around all bent out of shape with diseased bodies and wrecked homes and financial ruin and everything else, misery and unhappiness and heartache. What did I do? Like a dunce. Amen. God, have mercy. God said, my people don't even know the judgments of the Lord. Said, how do you say you're wise and the law of the Lord is with you? Lo, certainly in vain made yet the pen of the scribes in vain. You don't believe it. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they've rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? When you reject God's word, there's no wisdom in you. And you're going to stumble and fall into a snare and into the pit. And finally, into destruction. God have mercy. Jeremiah 17, another great verse there. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Lord, I want you to use me. Lord, I want you to bless me. Lord, I want you to lay your hand upon me. Lord, I want you to save my family. Lord, I want you to better my job. I want you to heal my body. God said, I search the heart and I try the reins, and I'm going to give you according to your ways and to the fruit of your doings. Don't blab with your mouth. I don't look at your old talk. I look at your heart. And the verse before said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm going to leave the Old Testament in conclusion here and show you how Jesus was put on trial. Very briefly, it's very beautiful. Jesus, you got to believe what the Bible says, not what people says. All right, beginning in Hebrews 5, verse 5. Christ also glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, this is talking about Jesus Christ in his fleshly days, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Listen to verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus was a son. If you're a son of God, then the Lord is going to teach you obedience by the things that he puts on you to suffer. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. You got to believe what the Bible says, not these penny waste, delicate, delinquent preachers that are around preaching. Proverbs 5 again, verse 9. Well, let's get verse 8 over. Bears repeating. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, and that was through his sufferings, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Didn't say believe on him, said obey. If you really believe, and that's the kind of believing it takes to get eternal salvation, is obedience. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. See, the church is dull of hearing today, and the preachers know it, and so they play dumb, or they play, you know, coy and cautious, and they call that love, you know. Love? That's hate. My Lord, have mercy sakes. They love themselves. Jesus was disciplined through the word of God. In Revelation 2 and verse 23, hear this particular message here. And I will kill her children with death. Jesus said this to this church of Thyatira. There was a woman Jezebel in that church, just like churches today is full of Jezebels. Says, you've got a woman Jezebel in there. Boy, the churches today has got enough old silver and gold and paint and makeup to make three golden calves apiece right in the middle of them. Listen to what he says in verse 22. I will cast her in a bed in great tribulation. In verse 23, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give to every one of you according to your works. I search the reins and the hearts. I see if you'll let me come into that heart and sit in that throne room. On the throne of your heart, put me in the driver's seat, give me the reins, and said, here, Lord, just turn me about according to your will. And how does he turn you? By the word of the Lord. Amen. When you hear the word, you do it. That means you're given into his hand. People, they claiming to be Christians. You tell them something the word of God says, well, I don't like that. Well, God could care less. He don't care whether you like it or not. He just said, do it. Or I'll judge you for it. Blessed old man Job, the devil stirred God up to put him on trial. I remember Job there contending with the Lord during a severe trial. In Job 23, beginning in verse 7, he goes, I said, I go forward, and he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him on his right, my right hand, where he doth work, and I can't behold him. He hideth himself on my right hand, that I can't see him. But I know that when he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he's tried me, that trial didn't last a day and tomorrow and next week and next month. It lasted for weeks and months. God tried him. And the Bible said he was a perfect and an upright man, and one that feared God and hateth evil. Yes. In Job 2 and 5, God speaking to the devil said, don't you know that you move me against my perfect servant to destroy him without a cause? But God still had to try him. The devil told God, if you'd let me to him, he'd curse you to your face. So God had to put his perfect servant on trial to test him again. He'd already tried him and tested him. He said, I know he's going to retain his integrity. Said, you move it to destroy him, and he still held his integrity. What else do you want? He said, skin for skin.